grad school, the son of the old Kentucky woman across the road from us was principal of the high school of a little town near us, and he was way beyond his period of history in his educational idea. And I had the run of his library during the weeks. He had a fine library in the room he had equipped himself in the top of their story and a half house. Theirs and mine and two others were the only non-little cottage houses for miles around. And he had turned his room into a scholar's room. And because he was never there except occasionally on weekends, he told his sister I was to have the run of his room at any time that he was not there. To come back to Sister Mary Josephine, I hesitate to say this, it is so sad, that she was really not an intelligent woman. She seemed to me mediocre, to put it kindly. And that was the way most of the many of the students who were my friends felt. But if we had to get teacher certificates, you had to take those courses. My mother was so afraid that she and or my father would die before my handicapped sister insisted on my getting a second class certificate in college, which meant that I had to take all of the education courses along with the regular college courses, which I would not give up. I didn't see any point in being in college if that happened. And I had antagonized Sister Mary Joseph dreadfully. We had one brilliant English teacher. I think they must have had the system, or a similar system, that we had later at Mundelein College, of siphoning off the 10% of the highest grades in the entrance examinations for advanced composition classes in English. They were the grades of the students who were apparently the best. And this teacher also was a real scholar. She had had her master's degree before she entered the college, the community. She was Sister Mary St. Teresa.
St. Teresa.
And she left the congregation, unfortunately, the year after Mundelein opened, I think it was, because I had been professed only a year or so. She had nothing to do with my entering the congregation. In fact, a comment she made after I had entered, just in passing, and this was only a year or two after I had entered, made me think that she was surprised and a little sorry that I had entered. She said, "Sister, did you like us so much you couldn't bear to leave us?"
Mm-hmm.
But there was a bit of irony in the way she said it, and by that time I was in one of Josephine's classes to get the certificate for which I had very little respect. And I had seen other things too. Some of the unfortunate personal ambition among sisters. And I still think that is sad, and I have seen a lot since I came to Marion Hall of sisters looking around and a little resentment of who got to walk in the procession at a funeral or something of that sort. The feeling that that was a sign of extra respect and that they had not been allowed to participate in it. I have had one or two table mates who talked about that at practically every meal.
Then they were hurt.
They weren't
included.
They were badly hurt. It was not to the point of mortal sin or anything like that. But it was far from the idea of...
I just always thought they were friends of the deceased that were selected.
They were. But these sisters somehow felt that they had a right to be in that procession, that they were special friends or something.
Also, sure. That's too bad.
And,
could we jump on to thinking a little bit about John Michael?
And John Michael, I believe, was very bright, very arrogant. She, I think, would not be in anything if she couldn't be conspicuously first. I think I antagonized her. She had taught in Kansas City at our high school there for 2 years and taught English. This is the only reason I can think of for her disliking me and having it in for me when she was president, although she didn't do too much. She didn't do anybody, in fact. She had a bad knee. She kept right on going immediately to her room except during the day. She had to be in the president's office, but after supper, she went to her room. After breakfast, she went to her room and came down when she had to for class or office. And I remembered finally that in the early days of the postulancy, Sister Mary Verena had asked her to write a sonnet. To ask someone to write a sonnet, or to volunteer to write a sonnet, I don't know what it was, about fall. I don't know what she wanted it for. And I don't know, but I suspect that John Michael was the one who wrote the sonnet and turned it in. She gave me to read it. She may have seen, and I know she saw copies of the Lab Room because they sent it everywhere, and the only time I missed a publication of the Lab Room was when someone had said that nobody but St. Teresa's students got it published, and it made her so mad that she didn't turn in anything for the Lab Room from then on, and they were always turned in by the English teacher. And anyway, a sonnet was turned in, and Verena gave it to me to read to see what I thought of it. And I said, it is a perfectly regular sonnet. It obeys all the rules, and it has every cliché that anybody ever used in a sonnet. And that was it. Well, then, I think it was a few days later, she asked me if I would write a sonnet, and it was the same subject as the, I don't remember what it was. And I wrote one, and I carefully avoided cliches, and I don't remember now what it was, but I wrote the best sonnet I could on whatever topic she wanted, and it was used. And it was from then on, I noticed an antagonism on the part of Sister Mary John Michael, and I couldn't understand because we were about the same age, and we were both English majors from our BAs, and yet she seemed antagonistic. She was not a Clark student, so I hadn't known her before. Kansas City, and I thought, well, that's one more. We're both kind of a Missourians. And you know, she was never friendly toward me at all. And it didn't occur to me until long afterwards that I'll bet she's the one who wrote the first sonnet, and that she knew what I had said about it, not knowing that it was written by somebody in the class.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's the only thing I could think of. She was never really friendly to me after that, through all our years of undermining. But she was very bright, like the rest of us who had our BAs when we entered. She was sent on for a master's the first year. She was sent to Ann Arbor, which was next, I would say, to Columbia, just about, in fame and competence and North Central's ideas. And I didn't know it until years later, but somebody told me that she did not get her master's that year for the simple reason that she refused to write a dissertation. Mm. And it could be that she thought she wouldn't be tops in it, or that they might not approve it if she wrote it. And I'm sure that she could have written a good one. She was bright. But they said she simply would not write the required paper.
Strange.
It was very strange. So she went on. She, however, went on with the four of us. I suppose Columba wrote one. I don't know. It wouldn't have been difficult for her to toss. She could have tossed it off. She was bright. She was purely financial oriented, but she was good. She was a very good businesswoman, I think, and she was business manager of the college in no time after she came in. Now, she was one of the really good, efficient ones.
This is Columba.
Columba. Mm-hmm. I don't think she had any heart at all. I think she had nothing but a lump of iron. But she was nice to people, you know. She was, she didn't butter them up at all, but she was a decent member of society. And
she did her job.
She did her job, and they may even have accepted what she had done before. She had been teaching in high school for 4 years, and I think she taught accounting in those subjects. I don't know. But I know whatever she did, I think she probably did very well. And we were companions on home trips several times because she was from Oxford. Population 200 and something, I believe. And I was from Anamosa, and they weren't very far apart. And her father was a country doctor to whom driving was nothing. We'd go on the train to Anamosa, and he would come down and pick us up. I remember his being there when we got back from Mass one morning at 8 o'clock, sitting on the porch swing waiting for us to get there to start out for Elkport. My mother cried because we were entitled to half of that day. But my mother got him in for breakfast. We didn't leave out of Elkport until around 9, I think. We had a good breakfast, and she and Dr. Cribbs were talking like old friends by the time it was over.
So you had a little time at home.
I had a little time. I had had my 2 days, and we didn't get there until late on the day we went, you know, so that cut out that day pretty well. Anyhow, that is that, and it's about two members of the community during the first summer and the early years of Punta Line College.
Thank you.
I'm sure that Sister Mary John Michael taught well, whatever she taught. It was in education. She had taken the classes at Ann Arbor. And I know she was well prepared and that she was good at it. And she must have been.
Sure. We can put a period then beside John yeah. Michael and Columba. Irma, what about Liguori? You may remember some things about...
Oh, indeed. I don't remember when Liguori joined the faculty. She and Harita Fox were like this. After she came to Bungalow, I don't think they had known each other before. Harita was working on her doctorate at the time I remember her, and it was she was working for it from Notre Dame, and I don't remember what it was, but it was something in history. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it was well done, because Harita was a bright woman, and she was, when she did something, she did it well. And Liguori was too. And Liguori was, they were both vicious in their ways. Oh, yeah. And Harita hated me because I had written, and by 45 I had my PhD, and she didn't, and the superior would say, see what Irma thinks about her when she brought it in, because we had to bring anything that was for publication in to have the superior look it over. And anyhow, at that time I had published more than anybody. I hadn't published anything important at all. I look back now at that PhD dissertation. It could have been published here. I think it with a different kind of introduction than even yet probably it would be, but I wouldn't think of trying, because it was about Milton, and people are in this age, people are interested in, if they're not Catholic, and many of them even as Catholics, athletics and money and cars. And anyway, that is in material now. They were both very intelligent women. Liguori was very political. She was, I think, a sociology major. She went to Catholic U for her doctorate. She was there part of the time that I was. She went a little bit after I started, so she was later getting it, not because she was any better. And the two of them were very close friends. They talked a kind of funny, they did it to be funny. There was no sense, it wasn't intended to be sentimental, baby talk at each other, and they lived at different ends of the corridor, in which I slept in the middle, and you'd hear this utterly false baby talk going on from this end and this end. Liguori was down here, and Harita down here, or maybe it was the other way around. Harita taught in 507. That was the classroom she wanted, and that was what she taught in. I, at that time, had 506 for a publications office. It was next door to 507. If there was any noise at all in 506, she raised ructions. And she was not above coming in and storming at anybody who happened to be in 506. Even as she'd leave her class and go in and yell, and her class would hear what she was saying to them, you know, it was ridiculous. And the whole school was laughing about it. And one day, while I was away, because I was sent away doing research for a grant for, did you ever see my Thomas Holm book?
Irma, one of my favorite teachers in high school was Sister Mary Leola, and I'm wondering about your memories of her at Mundelein.
Sister Mary Leola was one of the gifted women in, I think, the whole history of Mundelein. This shows the impression she made on people. I often, nearly always, I was called, if it didn't have to be from class, to take visitors who were writers or artists, in fact, practically any visitors, through the college. And the brother of one of our sisters who taught at St. Gertrude was the head of the Newman Club at the University of Chicago. And when famous people came to lecture or to perform there, he sent them to Mundelein. So we had many distinguished visitors. And I used to be sent to take them around. I suppose Sister Margaret Cynthia thought I had the gift of gab or something. And I had a doctorate from a great university, which impressed people. Mm-hmm. And one time when I had taken the Irish players around, as I did every time they came to Chicago, one young actor who was utterly delightful, I forget his name now, but I remembered it for many years, after I had introduced him to Mary Leola in the Children's Theater on the 8th floor, and we got out of hearing from there, he said, "What is that woman doing in the convent? She could have gone anywhere on the stage."
She had a beautiful voice.
She had a beautiful voice. Mm-hmm. Beautiful, big dark eyes mm-hmm. that responded to everything yes. she thought about. Mm-hmm. And she knew anything that an outsider could know about theater, I think. She was well-learned in what she was doing. She was good. She would take a girl who you thought would never be anything but a clod and make an actress of her.
She had a talent.
She was very, very good. She came, would be working on her big play of the year. When I was working on my big final magazine of the year, and we would meet head on, because we had a good many double majors, people who were doubling their major to include both theater and writing. And we had the same people working on things on which the reputations of both of us and our departments hung.
Irma, your memory of these people has been remarkable. I am very grateful for every minute of your time telling me these stories.
The people you couldn't forget.
Evidently not. I thank you sincerely for this time, and I'm sure the committee will be most grateful for all of your memories. God bless you.
I thank you for listening. It's been a joy.
Oh, it's really lovely. Thank you very much.
Thank you.